The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello.
Maddie, are you going to make me yell at you right at the top of the show?
Why? What happened? Is it bad?
What are you not doing that you're supposed to be doing?
What do you mean?
Your microphone.
Is it knocking around?
But it's not like lifted off your face.
It's rigged.
All right.
Okay. I hit the wire. I'm getting better at this. I'm evolving.
Oh, you don't have to wear a mask. It's okay. All right. We'll see how it goes. All right, guys. So we're going a little bit of a different direction today. We've had musicians on the show before. Typically, it's comedians, reality stars, porn stars, and we're back to musician again today. It is the vocalist and bassist of Hollywood Undead, Johnny Three Tears. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoy having a guest with neck and hand tattoos. This is bringing joy into my life in the holiday season.
Really? I wish I never got these now.
Really? All the hands too?
Oh God, yeah. It's a bunch of crap on there. I was really young and now I'm fucked.
Did you hear that Pete Davidson is in the process of removing every one of his tattoos, and he also has like neck, hand, his whole torso, and he's getting them all removed.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's possible. They can dull them out, but I don't think you can actually, unless they're like all like thin and like black and just black ink, no colors and stuff. I don't even think, I know Pharrell did that. He got a huge sleeve removed.
Wow.
At that point, I would just, whatever. I'm not going to, it already sucked the first time. I've heard that getting removed is even worse than getting the fucking thing to begin with.
I've heard the same thing. I have a couple of tattoos that I don't love. I don't think I would remove them though. It's kind of like getting jewelry from a loved one that you just kind of learn to love it over time, even if you don't like it. Like I kind of just deal with it, or I'd have them improved.
Look at this. Yeah.
All right. Wow. Okay.
What? Say it again. Remember in Home Alone after fucking Pesci's head got burned?
Yeah. That's what everybody tells me. Yeah, no, I have my whole head done. At least then I could grow my hair and you can't really see it. But a lot of it is just they're like time period things. And you're like, you know, I was into it. And then as I've gotten older, I've kind of been like, I don't know. I'm never going to have like a normal job. It's not like it's going to fuck my career up. But at the same time, you know,
how's the worst look?
It sucks when old ladies are all scaredy and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they just got out of prison. Huh?
How was the scalp? It seems like it wouldn't hurt that much. Was it really?
Oh, yeah. And I have my ribs done. I have my chest done. This one. And I did it in one sitting, and it was 9 hours. And it was, it was brutal. It was really brutal.
Were you on drugs? Were you on drugs?
Not for that one, but for a lot of them, absolutely.
I drank through a lot of mine.
That's not good.
Drinking never helped me. I used to do other things, and that would make, like, it's weird when you're on certain, like, uppers and stuff, pain becomes, like, almost enjoyable, so it's, like, it's actually, like, not as bad. So there are things you can do. Obviously, I don't suggest doing that, but alcohol never helped me any. That almost made it worse because I'm, like, an emotional, sensitive drinker.
I gotcha.
Why does this hurt?
I've tried in the past, like drinking, because like my favorite thing in the world would be to, in the past, it's been many years, but would be to like take a painkiller and have a drink. And so I would like take a Vicodin and then have a beer. But there's something about Vicodin that makes the pain actually like more annoying.
Yeah. Downers in general, I think you make you more sensitive physically. So uppers would be the way to go if you're going for pain tolerance, but then you're snorting coke, and I don't know if that's a good idea.
Speaking of drugs, I have a message to relay to you from Ralph Sutton, host of the SDR show. He said to remind you that as soon as the lockdown eases up a little bit, that he still plans on having you back on the SDR show along with Jelly Roll to do a drug on the show. He wanted to remind you of that.
Oh, I've been counting down the days. I've actually been getting my tolerance up on the side so I don't humiliate myself.
I'm very excited. Okay, so we're going to just talk about a little bit of nonsense before I get into the segments. So our recording dates are kind of off a little bit. So while this is the last episode of The Thing Is that we'll be recording in 2020, this is actually the first episode that will be released in 2021. So it's kind of like our New Year's, it's our New Year's episode kind of all around. My plan was to go back and listen to this episode from last year and see what our New Year's resolutions were, but I didn't have time to do that. But we can talk about that briefly, like the hack thing of discussing. But I think that because of the shit year that everybody had in 2020, that 2021 owes us a resolution. Like we should have something promised to us because of all of this bullshit. I just had surgery a week ago. Like this week is going out, the year is going out with a freaking bang.
Whoa.
But I feel like, okay, so 2021, Maddie, quickly, give one resolution.
It's hard to think of one now because I was busy, distracted by your optimism and how I felt about it, about 2021. I don't think I'm on board with you. I think 2021 is going to continue to be shit.
Bingo.
You know, like it doesn't just stop on the calendar year, Shannon. 2020, it's like, oh, let's get this year over with. It's like, it's not a bad fucking date we're on here.
I have to agree with them on that one. I don't think, I think 2021 might. I think personally, you can kind of make what you want of it. 2020 has been a fantastic year for me, but I'm not the kind of guy who goes, uh-oh, I just find other shit I can do. And I've had more downtime than I've had in 15 years. So I just started getting better at things and reading more, you know, doing things that I found productive during the time. But 2021, I think people have to realize that it's probably not going to get better unless they make it better themselves. I don't think anybody's.
You know what? I'm going to take that one. I'm going to read more in 2021. I just got fucking 1984. I
haven't there you cracked go. It open yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Animal Farm 2 is really good. I've and heard. You'll see a lot of correspondence with the government in this country and what's happening in those books.
Yeah, that's why I got it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I
sent myself
shit
into the deep end.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying, but I think it's like a nice thing to, regardless of whether it be because of the change of the year, any day that you pick, to just like pick a day to like give yourself a boost to maybe change your mindset. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the way I look at that stuff, because people have motivation brief periods of motivation. So like, okay, it's January 1st. I'm going to do this all year. That's the easy part. What they lack is discipline. It's very easy to do something for a week or 2 weeks and stuff like that. So when motivation kind of runs out, you have to have discipline to fall back on. And most people don't have it. So as long as they're motivated, they can continue down that road. But when it becomes a pain in the ass, that's why like the first 2-3 weeks of January and like the gym are like a zoo. And then by February, it's back to normal again. Cause all the, it's hard, you know, doing anything worthwhile is tough. So people, I would think much more along the lines of how can I carry this out for a year or out for 6 months, as opposed to something off the top of my head. Cause it's fucking Tuesday.
I'm proud that I maintained my veganism through 2020. Mm. And through the pandemic, I didn't gain any weight. Knock on wood.
That's good. That's a big one, because I know a lot of fat fucks now.
I think what I want to change is probably exactly the same thing as I said last year and didn't do, is like improve upon relationships. And we can do, I'm sorry, Brian, but like we could put the timer here, which will show up in post-production. But as of right now, it's been 2 years and 9 months since I've had sex. So damn. I think I need to like improve my
interest. On purpose?
Yes and no. Like I haven't found a person yet that I feel comfortable having sex with. So, but yeah, I just need to like work on my interpersonal skills. Maybe I can fix
you?
It somehow in the next year.
You know, I did that for a year once. I didn't have sex for a year. And what made me do it was an episode of Seinfeld. There's an episode where George, he's with a girl and he's not allowed to have sex. He starts solving like Rubik's cubes and learns Portuguese. And, you know, basically when your mind is consumed by this one subject, you know, and I'm probably every guy thinks about it 50% of the day, I would guess, I would assume, unless they're busy. So when you kind of detach yourself from that, you're capable of doing a lot more. So I think it's therapeutic. And you can't get anybody pregnant or get an STD. So those are two positives, or you can't get pregnant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know that it's much of a distraction to me, though. I think it's only a distraction, like when there is somebody that I want to have sex with, because then I think about it. But I don't just think about having sex with whoever.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the difference between most men and women. No, I mean, the girls I've asked, guys, or it's much more of a physical pursuit, while women have a much more emotional attack. That's what I've heard. Obviously, I don't know that many women, so I wouldn't really know the answer to that.
I agree. When I was younger, though, like in my like 20s, well, it wasn't like many guys, but I had like one guy that was like a booty call. And there was no like emotional attachment. Like we just like both worked in the nightlife and like we both like get off of work and be drunk at like 4 a.m. So he would just like come over. And there was never like an issue of like an emotional thing. But I think it is more that now as I'm older, that like I want like a connection and more than just to like bang it out.
By the way, you're faithful to one porn star.
I was just going to say, Maddie, I swear to God, I was just about to bring this up. I don't think I mentioned this on last week's episode. But so when I do watch porn, I only watch from this one guy and his name is Rob Diesel. Did I mention this on the last episode, Maddie?
No.
Okay. So
I know what you're talking about, but not, you didn't mention it on the show.
Okay. So, yesterday, I had my appendix out and, you know, I had like a lot of people like reaching out, like hope you're getting well soon and whatever. And the porn star who is my, like the one who I'm monogamous to, DM'd me and said, wishing you a speedy recovery, sending you kisses to like, you know, help you feel better. Mm. How exciting. I'm sorry. I thought it was very exciting.
Okay. Oh, how excited every man is that's listening to this, that some other dude gets to fuck you. Yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit. The fuck do I care?
I was so excited about
you.
It.
Good for you, kid. Get yours.
All right. So that's it. That's the background stuff. So happy new year, everybody, because this is now the brand new episode. Oh, there is one more thing I wanted to say. So we started doing these Zoom episodes, obviously, like when the pandemic hit. So I guess like around maybe April is when we started doing the show through Zoom. And so we've had this like group of people that they're here now, some fans that kind of hang out with us as we record the show. And after we record the show, we all kind of like hang out afterwards and we'll like drink and bullshit. And then we've gotten to be like, I feel like genuine friends, and everyone talks about like their real life shit, what they're going through, hard things. And it really has become like such like a little family. And to me, like, I hate to be like a corny asshole girl about it, but like, I feel like it's the silver lining of this pandemic, that like we've kind of all had each other through this. And I'm grateful for that. Yeah. So I just want to say I'm grateful for you guys, to the Ding Nation. Thank you.
I'm still not sure about them.
You're not sure about them? They deal with you and your drunk ass. Maddie gets drunk.
I don't have to check off that one for drinking alone. It's like, no, I'm with friends. I'm just drinking all this wine and everything else I could find with my friends, not being an alcoholic.
Maddie gets drunk.
A nice excuse.
He gets drunk throughout the course of the episode. And then by the end of the episode, his alter ego, Daddy Maddie, takes over. Yeah. And then that's when I check out and I leave. But the rest of the Zoom chat hangs out with him. And the things that have happened over the past few months, it's a lot.
Mess.
Oh, dude. No Jeffrey Toobin stuff, right?
Mm-mm.
What's that? I don't know.
No, not yet.
He's the CNN dude who like went on a Zoom call and just started jerking off, I guess.
Yeah,
he was a major news figure. He was like a writer for the New York Times. I guess the guy just started beating off and like ruined his career.
He wrote a book or some shit about OJ. And then after it happened, OJ came out and was like, oh, Jeffrey Toobin. Like he was getting scolded by fucking OJ of all people.
That means you're in deep shit.
You're in deep shit if OJ scolded you for anything.
It's amazing it's amazing that hasn't happened yet, thankfully.
That one of us hasn't beaten off on the fucking thing. Yeah.
Yes. You know, it happens all the time from what I understand.
You guys can't see me right now. You know, people
sign some NDAs.
That's where Toobin fucked up.
Yeah.
Fucking Erin did end up in her underwear like on a post show at one point. And she freaked out. She got all mad at me. I was like, I don't know. I'm just wandering around holding the phone.
Oh, so people people saw her?
But you know what's funny? Like, yeah, I was so drunk that I thought she was somebody else in somebody else's screen. I was like, oh shit, somebody's got their fucking naked broad on their screen. Then I realized it was me.
Oh my God.
I was banged up.
Jesus Christ.
It happens.
We're gonna jump into the segments now. So typically the first question that we ask new guests on the show is to tell a story about your worst date experience or your worst sexual experience, meaning something went wrong during the process.
That's pretty much every sexual experience. Nothing ever goes right. Dating experience. I've never really dated. I was always too poor to date anybody. So we used to just drink in like alleyways and shit like that where I grew up. So there was never a date. I've never brought someone to dinner or nothing like that. So I don't really have to date. No, well, I'm married now. We go to dinner. But right when I was slumming it, you know, back then, we used to just drink like pawpaw plastic bottles of booze and sit in literally alleyways. We had a place called the Leaning Fence in Hollywood. We would just click up there. So the only people who would hang out with us were hood rats. There was no dating, really. And then as my career started going well, I got my girlfriend pregnant. So I didn't date, never got any of that. Lots of bad sexual experiences though. I'm not even kidding. I don't think I've ever had like a good one. There's always this nervous tension. That's why I drink before I do it. And then that just, it's like, it makes it even worse. You know, I'm either coming in 2 seconds or I can't get hard for 2 hours. There's no in between.
You try some of those uppers maybe.
Oh, dude, then I'm just going to talk to you about politics and religion and shit while you're laying there naked.
Is there a situation that stands out in your mind that was like comically bad?
Oh, yeah, dude. One time this girl I used to date, and she really thought this was going to upset me. I lived in this apartment with my buddy who's also in the van. And I don't know, I guess I had upset her. And she was like leaving and there was a bunch of people there. And she was like, yelled out how I could never get hard. You know what I mean? Which was true. And it didn't bother me at all. And I was like, well, isn't that your responsibility? And, you know, I probably gave her like a some kind of psychic problem after this. So I felt bad about it. But yeah, there's all kinds of experiences like that. Some of them are, you know, too gross, I think, to talk about. But
you can share it if you feel comfortable sharing it. This is the place to share it.
Yep. I you know, honestly, I kind of have to hold back because if my wife saw this and I was telling these stories.
Oh, that's the most fun reason to do it.
Dude, not during lockdown. If I get locked in there with her. If I could leave or some shit, maybe.
That's fair. All right, guys, let's take one quick moment to talk about one of our favorite sponsors, which is Yo Kratom. First of all, if you've never heard of Kratom or if you're under the age of 21, ignore this. This isn't for you. But if you are a fan of Kratom, then we have an amazing deal for you. And not just us, but Yo Kratom. Yo Kratom offers the best quality, the best value Kratom that you're going to find anywhere. They are home of the $60 kilo, which is unheard of. And you, as a Kratom fan, know that already. It's so easy just to go to the website and kind of peruse their selection of fine quality Kratom strains. They have all the different types of Mangda. I'm not going to even pretend to remember all of them because I usually only use one or two. But any kind of Kratom that you prefer, they have that strain. And they have it in powders, extracts, like an oil extract, which is really freaking banging, by the way. I didn't try them until just recently, and it is amazing. I recommend you try that. And they have capsules as well. Any strain you want. They also have one strain called Trainwreck, which is a blend of all, I believe it's 11 different strains that they have, and it's pretty great. So check out yokratom.com, YOKRATOM. Check out what they have. Pick out what you like. You don't have to go to a store. You don't have to go to a gas station or a head shop. Now I'm like 100 years old calling it a head shop, but a smoke shop. You don't have to go to any of those places. The reason why I hate going to those places is because when you go there, you don't know the brands that they're going to have, if they're trustworthy, the prices are going to be crazy. You don't know if they have the strain you want. Yo Kratom resolves all of those issues. So check out yokratom.com. Let's get back to the show. Okay. Then let's move on to the next segment, which is bad things.
bad things with you.
And this is the part of the show we talk about fight stories, physical altercations that you've been in. And if you've been in multiple ones, which I assume you probably have, you can pick the most memorable fight that you've been in.
Well, yeah, I mean, we used to, like I said, we were kind of street kids back in the day, and we grew up on like Franklin and Highland area in Hollywood. Hollywood, as you know, as most people know it today, wasn't like that. It wasn't like a tourist. They didn't start. Some gazillionaire bought up a big space and built this giant mall. But before that, it was all just drugs and, you know, things like that. And then they hired a bunch of off-duty cops to like clean it up, called the Green Shirts. So they would like do raids and stuff because they were trying to turn Hollywood Boulevard back into a tourist attraction. They knew there was a lot of money in it, but as long as there was a bunch of crackheads and gang shit going on, they knew. So we were around before then, and we used to have problems with other people in the same neighborhood and stuff like that. So we'd always get these like rumbles and stupid, dumb shit. Now, well, in retrospect, it was stupid at the time. It was like my whole life, but probably the best one I got, there's a really famous pizza place called Greco's Pizza on Hollywood Boulevard. It's really well known because it's like a New York style pizza place, and everybody goes there after the clubs and the bars and shit close. They're open till like 4 a.m. So there's always fights and stuff like that. And one time I got this cholo dude, he was a big fat dude. He had hit a buddy of mine that was visiting from Canada, this kid, Guy Connor. He was a tattoo guy. He owns a shop down in Hollywood now called Timeless Tattoo. He's a really cool dude, but not much of a fighter, I guess you could say. So I kind of was like, you know, what's up? So we start boxing inside the pizza place, and the guys are so used to this shit, they don't even react. The guys who work there, they just kind of stop cooking the pizza and wait. We start, you know, wrestling and tussling and stuff like that. And in the process, this fucking table tips and a guy's pizza like goes onto the floor. And I was winning this fight, I think. I felt like I was. And then I slipped. I stepped into the pizza. It was like a fucking cartoon. And I went like, whoop, in the air. And so the guy ended up on top of me. So I ended up losing the fight because a fucking pizza fell on the floor. It was like a Tom and Jerry episode is the way I always look back at it. I had pizza sauce all over my ass and my back and stuff like that, my hair. But most of them are just regular scrums. You know, you get in a, you box, someone wins, someone loses. We lost just as much as we won. There was a lot of racial shit back then too, in the late 90s, early 2000s. So people would come in from other neighborhoods, and there was always problems between Blacks and Mexicans or the whites and the black. It was always some shit going on. So now it's not anywhere near that. You know, people are a little more chill, but it's funny because everybody thinks there's a lot of racial tension now. I'm like, dude, 15 years ago, at least where I grew up, you know, there was like no-go zones for different, you know, you didn't go into neighborhoods and shit because your ass is going to get smoked or stuff like that. So now it's funny, everybody talks about it, but to me, it's a whole different fucking world.
You know, that's a good point, because I grew up in Brooklyn, in Bensonhurst, which is like a predominantly white Italian neighborhood. Well, it was. And it legitimately was like that, where like if I was like coming home from school with a friend that wasn't white, like everyone's eyes would be on it and people would be talking about it. And if
don't call them an it, Shannon.
And if there were like guys from the neighborhood, like guys that were my age, like they would say something about it. I didn't even think about that until right now. But yeah, it is really a big freaking difference.
Yeah, I think. And then like, you know, guys and girls, different ethnicities getting together. That's not a big deal back then. That was a big deal, at least from what, I mean, I'm not saying this is like the 50s or something when I grew up, but in the early, that was like, you know, a lot of these things that people think are worse now were much worse then. And that's the thing with young people, is they forget history so quick, you know. But if you're old enough to like remember shit, I've always thought shit was a lot better now. I don't see any of that stuff. Gang violence in LA is like a fraction of what it was when I was a kid. You know, it's almost non-existent to a degree. So I don't know what everybody's all bent out of shape about, but
it's just people don't deal with as much shit anymore. So everyone's fucking soft to it. And just a littlest fucking thing goes wrong and your life is over.
Yeah, it's the victim. I mean, people talk about it all the time, that victim mentality and stuff. And it's sad to me because there's actually probably some victims out there. But now anybody who fucking looks at you cockeyed, now you're a victim. Everybody, you know, and everybody's kind of jockeying to be the biggest victim. When if anything, you should be jockeying to be the opposite, to help yourself and, you know, rise above these situations. But people are weak. They're pussies.
So you're old. Well, I don't, not going to say older. I think we're about the same age. I'm 38, but you're like, you're older now and like, calm down, you're married. But what is the most recent physical altercation that you've been in?
Oh, it's been a while, man. I was actually thinking about that the other day because some guy was being like a dick in the parking lot of a grocery store. And I was like, man, I should fuck that dude up. I'm like, but I'm so like, what if I run out of breath or some shit? It's knocking me out. You know what I mean? Because it's been a while. Probably, when was that? Probably about 4 or 5 years ago. It's been a while. I got in a fight on our tour bus with one of the other guys in the band. And that was really the last time. And even then, you're trying to hurt them, but not really. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. they're still, you know, you got to sleep together and you're probably still homeboys underneath it all. Mm-hmm. But a real, real fight, man, 10 years, probably 10 years. I haven't gone to bars and, you know, that's usually where that shit goes down is if you're out and about. And once I had my first daughter who's 11, I pretty much cut all that shit out. I mean, when I tour, I'll go out and drink and stuff like that. But for the most part, you know, I stay out of trouble. So it's been a while.
Do you remember the details of the last one? I don't know if you want to tell it.
This one of the guys in the van, I don't know, he was all drunk. He was acting stupid. And we were kind of going back and forth. And I was sober and he was all drunk. And so he was saying something because I had kind of said, it was like bus call. You have to leave at a certain time. And he was with some girl in the lounge. And I wanted to leave. It was 3 a.m. and shit. And I can't sleep till the bus starts moving. It's just like, I have a problem with it. So mm-hmm. I finally went, goes, get the fuck out of here. Finish it. Like, hurry up. So he comes out with his shirt off and stuff. Fuck you. And blah, blah, blah. And he kept talking. And I was sitting down. I was like, dude, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I forget what he said. He finally got under my nerves. And I got mad. And I grabbed him by his, like, kind of throat. And we have a microwave above the sink. And I just smashed his head into the glass part. And it broke and all this stuff. And then he kind of realized what was going on because he knew and I knew that who was going to be on the losing end. And that kind of stopped it. That was really the last time. Back when I was 19, 20, that was kind of our hobby. You know, we would drink and it was always this cheap ass alcohol and gets you all fucking aggressive. And we would go out and just fight. It was either if you didn't find a girl or get in a fight, the whole night was kind of pointless. Like, why did I do that? Those were kind of the ultimatums of the... It was the testosterone, you know, fight or fuck. So it's been a while and I can't go around getting in trouble. And plus your mindset changes. I used to get pissed off at stuff that now I'm like, it's laughable to me. You know, if someone came up to me and said, hey, you're a bitch or fuck you. I'd laugh. I don't care. Like it has mm-hmm. nothing, no hold over me. When I was young, you know, you're always kind of trying to like prove yourself or, you know, be that guy. And as you grow out of it, you kind of realize how obsolete the whole fucking thing is, the machismo thing.
Mm-hmm. Maddie, I have a question. Do you think if we were the same gender that we would have ever had a physical confrontation?
Us?
Yeah.
Knowing like the way we hang out now?
Yeah.
No. We're still the same people?
Yeah.
I just have a vagina. Allegedly, yeah. I don't have a penis anymore.
Or I have a penis, one or the other.
I don't think we would have fist fought. No.
You ghost text and fuck you. The question is, would you rather be the girl or would you rather be the guy when you fight?
That's the girl.
I would want to know. You want to be the girl? You want to? Me too. I've always wanted to fight it. Because you can pull hair, you can do all this shit you can't get away with when you're a dude.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. Scratch.
You think you would? I see them pulling each other's fucking hair like it's a rug. I'm like, yeah.
There's something instinctive, I think, in women that makes them go for the hair. It's like I've only been in like one like real street fight with a chick, and it's because like she attacked me.
Yeah.
And it happened so quickly. I don't remember the details of when we were actually scuffling, but I remember her saying, "Get off my hair." Mm-hmm. And it's like I've trained in like a couple of different like martial arts when I was younger. There's nothing in me, and my sister and I never like play fought like that, I don't think. So there's nothing in me that ever taught me to go for the hair. I don't know why that's a thing that we do.
It's there. It's a handle.
It's an equalizer. The other person literally can't do anything. That's why, you know, if you're boxing and you're losing, you should try and take, you know, get them in a headlock or something, because those holds and stuff like that. And for women, because they're not as physically strong, they're not supposed to stand up and box in the same way. You get a hold of someone's hair, you pretty much have the whole thing fucking won, you know, because that's why they pull the shirt over people's heads in hockey. because there's nothing you can really do. So if guys walk around longer, I'd grab the shit out of it too.
I'm grabbing hair. Like, you should have thought about this better.
I got no problem with it. But normally they got fucking crew cuts and you can't.
Yeah.
I guess I won the fight then. I killed it. I guess I won the fight.
Yeah, you did.
All right. Okay, let's move on to the next segment, which is scary things. And this is the part where we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. Have you ever had an experience that you can't explain?
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it.
Well, I grew up in Hollywood, like I said, and at one point we moved to an area called Glassell Park, which is like the eastern side of Hollywood. It's close to like Dodger Stadium and the LA River and stuff. There's a big cemetery there called Forest Lawn. And it stretches all the way from that area all the way into Glendale. It's fucking huge. It's the biggest cemetery in Los Angeles. And a lot of people die in Los Angeles. So you get the idea. So the back of the house was like a hill, but it ran right up to the graveyard wall. So we lived in the house on the street called, it was Drew Street. So you went up the driveway, there's the front of the house, and this hill went right up to the graveyard wall. So it's already spooky as fuck. But my brother, he got it a lot more than me. I think he's more perceptive to stuff like that. So I think like the super, they're attracted to people who they know that, you know, can detect them, I guess, mm-hmm. or like they know that you know, they're there or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of an oaf, so I never really thought about it much. My brother, he said he woke up, dude, my brother's not a liar, and like papers would be going like in his room, like all kinds of wacky shit. And he was younger. And I think that, so I slept in this little back house thing. It was tiny, like a shoebox. And one night I heard like a bang, and I look, and you could see every angle of the room, and there's nothing there. And I laid back down and I felt like a weight push me down. Like it was like someone was sitting on me and I couldn't move. And I was like, oh, you know, you start fucking freaking out. And I wanted to yell and I couldn't yell. And it like blanketed me, like where the weight pushed me down for a while. And I realized there was nothing I could like do. And then it lifted and it was done. It was gone. I never slept in that fucking back house again. That was the only time I knew something had happened along the way. I've had a lot of suspicions, but that was the only confirmed case where I was like, I walked out and I was in my underwear and I went to the back door and I slept on the couch in the living room and I never slept in there again because I was that scared that I wanted to be close to my mom and shit. And I was a grown man.
Were you like in the sleep cycle at all when that happened? Like, is it possible that was sleep paralysis?
No. I was still awake. I'm one of those dudes, I lay there for like a fucking hour before I can even shut my eyes, just thinking and going through the day. I was still very much in that phase. I had just turned out the lights. And I was laying there kind of just thinking, and it happened. And I know exactly what you mean, because I've had things happen while I'm like dreaming or half dreaming that seem very real. And you wake up, you're like, oh, that wasn't real. This was absolutely real. But that, like I said, that's the one time something happened to me that I knew for a fact. And shit happened there all the time because you're right next to a fucking graveyard.
Did you feel like, aside from that situation, did you feel like a negative energy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm not into the paranormal stuff. It scares the shit out of me, but I'm not in tune with it or anything. But I have buddies who are really into that. And in ghosts, I suppose, or whatever you want to fucking spirits, I don't know, have intentions just like human beings. So, you know, you meet someone, you know, they just got it out for you, or they're cool and they have intentions. According to these people, spirits are the same way. So some of them are good or just trying to draw attention to themselves because they want some company. Some of them, maybe they died a tragic death. Maybe they're, you know, murderers that got killed themselves. Who knows? And they have, you know, malicious intentions, I guess. So that one, I don't think if it happened to me, and I don't think that would have happened if it had good intentions, because it was obvious that I was being held there. Mm-hmm. It scared the shit out of me. So I've had that. That's probably the only one I can say for sure. I've had a lot of like little experiences that, but I won't bore you with them. That, you know, scared me, or I thought some shit was going on. Now I'm so fucking paranoid. I got like 5 cameras on my house. I have alarm systems. I have 3 dogs. I have like a giant fucking gun next to my bed. And any noise, I'm like walking around with this fucking shotgun, just like in my underwear. So you can imagine what ghosts do to me. Because you can't kill a ghost. You realize that's the part that's so terrifying about them. Monsters, you could shoot. You can shoot people. You can do anything to anything in the physical universe. But what am I going to do against a ghost? Nothing.
That's fair.
That's why they're so terrified.
Did your... Yeah, to me, I'm like, I'm curious. Like, I'm curious about it because like that experience that you had to you is like undeniable. You know, like that's like proof to you that something exists. Like, I've never had an experience where like it proves to me 100% that convinces me. And I really want to believe. I know Maddie has had like sleep paralysis before, but like just sleep paralysis. Right. Did you, I'm sorry, Maddie, we talk about this like, We talk about this like so often. I should know the answer to this, but you have seen the like the spirits attached to sleep paralysis, or you haven't?
Not like the way they're described. I've seen things before, but not like a hag. You know what I mean? Like they talk about the hag. Yeah. I haven't seen that like sitting on me or whatever.
Right.
It's always just like something more of a presence than an actual like picture. That makes sense.
Presence that you feel and don't see.
See, but not in the sense that I see you. You know what I mean? You see something that's not
right
there, but it is. It's as vague as I'm making it sound.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I've been there.
Have you had sleep paralysis?
A lot of that stuff is like a myth. You know, like, I don't think you're going to see some dude walking around in his suit that he died in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least from what I know. I know that, like, people have said they'll see like ghosts of like, let's say a military guy or something. He still has a uniform. I'm the same boat as him, but I've seen like, if I'm in a dark room, I've seen spaces that were darker than the rest more than anything else.
Yeah. Where, kind of shit like that.
Yeah. Like it's darker than the other parts of the room. Things along that line are outlines, but as far as like an actual physical apparition, I've never seen anything where you go, oh, you know, I think that's more of a movie thing, but people I trust have said they've seen stuff like that. I don't think they're lying to me. So I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility.
I think maybe you're more sensitive to this stuff than you're willing to admit to yourself that you are, because it seems like you've had a lot of questionable experiences, but like you're scared of it. So you kind of like try to push it back and ignore it.
No, that's a fair thing to say. I mean, if you deny it, it seems less real to you to open yourself to that, embrace it. That I'm always scared if I do that, then it's going to happen more. You know what I mean? Because I think most ghosts are trying to get your attention for one reason or the other. And if they know they can get it, they're going to continue to try. So I'd rather walk around just twiddling my thumbs, pretending nothing's happening, personally.
I do that. Scary. Like if I hear like a, you know, something go bump in the night, I'm just like, because I feel like if you like the feeling of fear, like if it's a bad energy that they like feed off the feeling of fear. So I just try to like cut off that feeling because I panic. As much as I want to have an experience, I'm also like a little bitty baby when something scares me.
Yeah. Well, dude, people are the same way. People with bad intentions, if they know you're afraid. So I think at the end of the day, their urges or lack thereof are very similar to human beings. You know, if someone wants to hurt you and they know you're fearful, that is fuel for them. So it might be the same thing for them. Now, I obviously don't know, but I just try to be oblivious to the whole thing because I have enough fucking problems in reality, let alone if I start fucking around in the paranormal.
By the way, speaking of California, someone just tagged me on Twitter. I believe it was Smoove and DeCat that Bert Kreischer, a comedian, is going to do like a ghost hunt at the Comedy Store.
Oh, cool. He's funny.
Yeah, and I feel like I've heard a lot of people talk about weird things that happen there, because supposedly like people have like been killed there or something like a billion years ago. But I'm excited to see that. I want to do a ghost hunt.
The shows are always so fucking anticlimactic. They have their little radars and they're measuring some metaphysical thing, and then it's like, oh my god, they cut to the McCartney. There's never anything that actually happens, and they're very disappointing. I don't, so the shows I don't get, but you know, I would go on a tour for sure. Cause then I might at least have some kind of like, we went to a Savannah, Georgia for a trip once, me and my kid and my wife. And there's it's been inhabited a lot longer than the West Coast and stuff like that. That's one of the shitty parts about living West is everything's fairly new. So it's, and there's some old mansion where some chick owned a plantation and killed all these people and stuff like that. And you walk through the house and you certainly get like some weird sensations, but you don't see anything either. But at the same time, you're on a tour with 30 other fucking tourists. I don't know if they're going to be boo, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. The commercial stuff is like, I've done like the Eastern State Penitentiary here. Oh, cool. But it was like, they set it, it was around Halloween, which is like hack. And they had like, most of it was set up as like one of those like Boo haunted houses, you know, where they like decorate and they have people jump out and scare you. But there was one section where it was where, it's a old mobster. I can't think of what his name is at the moment. It'll come to me when I stop trying to think of it.
Capone? But
that's it. Yes. It was Al Capone.
Capone? I thought he was at Alcatraz. He was out there too. Oh yeah, he was at Eastern State as well, wasn't he?
I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So they have like, they have his old cell preserved. And I guess like he had like, you know, like these fancy rugs and furniture.
Nice bed, nice couch and all that shit. Radio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. But so they have that and they have it like roped off so you can like see it. But then like the whole like corridor leading up to there is just like empty cells. So like nothing, they haven't done anything to it. So that was the only part that like wasn't commercialized for this. And I tried so hard. Like I would go past each of the empty cells. They weren't lit or anything. And I would just like take pictures with like my cell phone with the flash to like look at after to see if there was anything. There wasn't anything.
Yeah.
But that's what like I really want to do. And I say this ad nauseum, but like a ghost hunt with like a small group of like people, you know, maybe four or five of us with a bunch of equipment and like go there to spend the night with the purpose of like seeking some kind of proof.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen any actual proof. So that it's doubtful to me that anybody's going to get any. I've never seen anything like, you know, like on those ghost shows, these people go to the most haunted place and it's always so, you know, some fucking fuzzy shit on a radio or something. You know, what was scary is when we were in Poland in Europe recently, or fairly recently, it was before COVID, obviously, we went to Auschwitz and that shit is one of those places. Like, yeah, I've gone to places that are haunted and, you know, it's spooky and stuff. But if you want to go to a place where the energy is just like, you just know, it's almost like the land itself is like so fucking tainted because so many people died there and it's still all intact, all the barracks. And they got rid of all the gas chamber there where they tore them apart because they wanted to get rid of the proof of what they were doing and stuff. But yeah, we went to the barracks and you could see like the stuff like people scribed in the walls when they were there. And that was one of those places I was glad I went, historically speaking, and to kind of pay respects. But it's one of those things I would never want to do twice. Like, to me, that's something much more real than going to, you know, the comedy club or some house where somebody hung themselves or some shit. You want to feel that energy, man. That's one of those places that it's just like, it's so solemn. Like, afterwards, me and the one, we didn't talk for like hours because it was so like heavy, you know? And who knows what's going on there as far as the supernatural goes. But,
Yeah, it probably just like drains your energy being in a place it's that's horrible. So dark.
Oh yeah, it's terrible, the stuff that these people did. So obviously, and it's all there. You can still see all this fucking apparatus. They still have the pole. This is fun. You know, the train would pull in and they'd unload all these poor people. And they had like a limbo pole. And if you could walk under it, they would walk everybody through it. They didn't know why. And if you could walk under it, you went straight to the gas chambers because that means you're a child or typically a woman or you couldn't work. And they had no idea why they were walked through it. And one group would go one way to go work themselves to death and the other people were executed. And you see something like that. And man, you realize how capable human beings are of like evil beyond like any, like, you know, it's unfathomable to me. You know, I don't litter. And these people are like fucking slaughtering people. And it's just like, gee, kids. And you're like, it's one of those things.
That's a lot.
Like I said, I would never do it again.
Only the fucking Nazi regime could make the limbo an even worse activity.
It's also like on the other side of that, like, you know, talking about like the sensitivity of people now. And it's like, if you just think of what people had to go through and you're mad because somebody told you a joke that hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
It's so fucking ridiculous.
Well, you should round them all up and put them in gas chambers.
Dude, I would be eventually. Yeah. Like if you offend someone, you get gas. I mean, a lot of this stuff, it seems to me like it's kind of out of that playbook. You know what I mean? Where if you say something someone doesn't like, they try and, you know, online, they try and mute you, censor you, whatever. They try and get your job taken, all these things. And you watch that. And some of these things people say, I may not agree with, but I certainly would never be like, this guy doesn't deserve to fucking work because he has a different opinion. And the thing is, most generations, you know, you had World War I, you had World War II, you had the Korean War, you had Vietnam, you had Desert Storm, all these different people had these great tests for their generation. This great generation has no test. Their lives are fucking video games. Most of these kids never been to fucking fight. So why do you think they talk all that shit on the internet? Because no one's gonna can fucking hurt them. you say stuff like that, people say online to someone, you're going to get your ass beat in a matter of minutes, but they don't know what the reality is. They don't know what violence is. They've never struggled. They think life is Hot Pockets and fucking Call of Duty. And people wonder why our country's going to shit. Well, wait till these people run it. Then we're fucked.
Good point.
Happy holidays, by the way.
Yeah. We may have to abandon ship entirely, Shannon, and move to a different country.
Happy New Year.
Dude, South America, bro. Belize. That's where I've always wanted to live.
Well, Curacao, because that's where my ancestors are from.
There you go. You can. That'd be cool.
I don't know where any of those places are.
It's a. Oh, by the way, Maddie, I was talking to Ralph earlier today, and we were talking about like the cases, you know, the percentage of infection rate. And we were talking about maybe moving to Nashville, and he said that the infection rate is like 50% there. I don't know what the truth is.
Yeah, but what does that even mean? What does that really mean?
The thing is, dude, with all these, dude, they're testing more and more people. Of course, they're going to find more fucking, it's simple mathematics. But when all these studies come out, I'm always suspicious because people try to construe it to fit their narrative for better or for worse. So it's gotten to the point where I just don't believe shit anymore. I don't believe what anybody fucking says because they contradict themselves constantly. Stay inside. Don't go out. Don't do anything. Then they go to fucking dinner with 20 people. So obviously they're not that fucking worried. I know Newsom, that fucking cocksucker, he shut down all these wineries, right? But he has a winery and he left his open. And it's like, and dude, these guys don't give a shit. They get caught, but because the media kind of, they stroke this guy here. They go, I just made a mistake. It was a bad case of judgment. And I'm like, dude, the guy's trying to bankrupt people so he can make money. It's fairly obvious, though.
They're all smarter and they know better than you. So they're allowed to do whatever they want.
We're idiots, stupid fucks. Exactly. Yeah. And that's
we've only been getting by on our own for a while now, but you know, you tell us how we're supposed to run the rest of our lives.
Yeah. No, and he's absolutely, because they really do. The politicians in general think we're all a bunch of fucking idiots, and to a degree where they're right, because we keep electing these fucking assholes.
They are right. You know why they're right? Because no one's taken a shot at one since fucking Reagan.
I know.
Right? That's a long stint without a fucking shot taken at a politician. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying I'd enjoy to see it.
I abstain from this commentary.
Are you back in total lockdown in California?
Yeah, California is, they shut down all the restaurants and shit. And this is another thing. You know, I saw this video. There's a restaurant, like a barbecue place, and it's right in North Hollywood. I've never been there. But they shut this chick down. She had spent $200,000 to make her restaurant able to serve outdoors, heaters, chairs, everything that she needed in order to be able to serve people outside. And then they all of a sudden say, no, you can't serve outside. She lost $200,000. She films it. She goes to the parking lot and she's crying. And she's like, over here, though, because movies are considered, essential. Right across the street is a fucking massive craft services with way bigger than her outdoor dining area for all the people working on the movie where they eat. So you're allowed, if you're making movies or whatever it is, to do the exact same thing that she can't do on a much larger scale. And you just basically destroyed this poor lady's life. But, you know, they're making fucking movies. It's like, it's so belittling to be like a middle class or normal human being without these privileges. And they don't give a fuck. That's what pisses me off. They're not even embarrassed to it. They don't even hide it anymore. They do whatever the fuck they want. And they tell your ass to stay inside. They ain't staying inside. Fucking half these people were in Hawaii like a month ago for some big conference. And we're stuck inside, you know, drinking cheap whiskey. Damn it.
It is here in Staten Island. I mean, we haven't gone back into like full lockdown yet, but they've broken it down into like zones of where they feel like it's more risky versus less risky. So there will be a bar open on this block, and then two blocks down, they're not allowed to open that bar. So the two blocks down, they're just losing their whole livelihood and everything because they're on the wrong block. And then all of their business is going two blocks out.
All of it's completely fucking arbitrary. That I remember the restaurant thing, you had to walk in with a mask, you could sit down and take it off. If you got up to go to the bathroom, you had to put it back on. And everybody's sitting there going, this doesn't make any fucking sense, including the people who work there. Everybody does it because everybody wants them to be able to stay open. I don't think this shit's going to end, either these COVID lockdowns, until people finally have had enough. Because once you give a government power and ability like that, they don't just give it back. They enjoy it. They like telling us motherfuckers what to do. Be giving our money away to whoever they fucking please. Until people actually finally go, okay, I've had enough, that's when this stuff is going to stop. And I'm not belittling the risk of coronavirus or anything along that line. But to make these arbitrary rules, 70% of the shit is spread in the homestead. But, you know, obviously, that they tell you to stay inside. It would do people a lot more fucking good to go hang out in the park all day than in their fucking house. But you can't go to the parks. They fucking put tape all over the kids' playground shit, so you can't use it. And they'll arrest you if you do. I remember some dude got fucking arrested in Orange County. He was out, what is it, wave surfing or whatever, you know, windsurfing. There wasn't a fucking person within a mile, and the Coast Guard drove out there like he had fucking kilos of cocaine from the border. And they like, you'd think these were like SWAT guys because he was out.
That's ridiculous.
Not by any means. That is much less risky than sitting in a house with five people breathing all over each other. Huh? None of it makes sense. Fuck them.
Also, with the outdoor dining now in the winter, they're basically creating another building.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
They've made all the restaurateurs open second restaurants in their parking lots.
It's actually worse because there's no fucking ventilation. So, you know, but air conditioning systems are bad. I'm like, all right, dude. I mean, at this point, I've probably had the fucking thing twice. I was in Italy when this whole thing broke out, which was like the epicenter. We were on tour in Europe for 6 weeks, and we were about a month in. And every day, we didn't know if we were going to like play the next day because all the countries one by one. Because in Europe, you're usually in a different country every day or every other day. So they all have their own rules. And one by one, they were shutting down. I remember France shut down, so we had to skip a day and go to like Copenhagen. And they were like shutting down one by one. The trying to get home was like, they had like the military. We flew out of the Frankfurt airport because we played like an Offenbach, which is a bit out. And they had like full military at the airports trying to keep control because everybody who was an expat was all, because they were standing there closing the borders. Everybody's trying to get the fuck out. And I have a buddy who got stuck over there. He was there for like 6 months and he couldn't come home because they wouldn't let anybody go. And the whole thing is just fucking psycho movie shit. You'll like that Orwell book, dude. I'm telling you.
I'm scared.
Yeah. Well,
I gotta read it.
You're just gonna be like, oh, I'm pretty much living this now.
Yeah.
It's not all that different.
I'm sure.
So we're getting a little tight on time. So I just want to bring this around and close out the scary thing segment and ask you, what do you think happens when we die?
Well, there's two sides to that question. There's the logical explanation and the spiritual one. One is preferable, obviously. But what do I really think? I'll tell you this. One thing, I don't think anything in particular, but I don't think that where I'm not like Freudian, where like who we are now is just the sum of our childhood. I think there's much more to it than that. So I do believe that everybody walking around today has lived before this lifetime. I do believe that. And I do believe that most likely after it, you will continue to live in some other form. How that all works out, I don't know. I don't really have like any traditional belief, so to speak. I'm not necessarily overly religious, but I certainly don't want to believe that we're just dust. So I'm not sure if it's just because I don't want to believe it that I search for something else, which is what most faiths are based on. But I admire people with faith, you know, it must be comforting having that answer. I don't, but I don't think we just die and turn to fucking nothing. I don't.
I like that. I like that idea around it. I like thinking that we're supposed to kind of keep cycling through lives until we complete what we're supposed to, like, until whatever we're supposed to do is completed, and then it like resolves in some way, shape, or form, whether it be like, you know, the energy coming together. It's just like the end of consciousness is such a hard thing to accept.
It's not real, dude. I don't believe that art and things like that would exist, because that would mean everything you are is the sum of, let's say, your childhood and your adolescence. Most people's childhoods and their adolescence aren't nearly eventful enough to create what we create. And I have a hard time believing it. I'm not saying I know for sure, but you know, this whole idea that we're essentially just a step above apes and shit, and on, you know, Darwin's scale, do I believe that? No. I understand that we have urges that you know, animals have, but at the same time, we have conscious. So there's this guy, Hermann Hesse, who I really like. He's a writer. He said that we're given the urges of animals, but the thoughts of angels, and they're constantly at war, right? Which is true. Because, yeah, I'd love to snort coke all day. I'm just going to tell you. But then I go, dude, that's bad for my health. I have a family. I can't do those things, you know, or anything along that line. I don't believe we would have that dichotomy of consciousness versus urge if there wasn't more to it than just, hey, this is me. Once I'm dead, and that's that. I just can't buy it. It seems mathematically even or metaphysically impossible to me.
I like that. I like that thoughts of angels thing. I like that. And I think that's a good way to wrap this episode. We're going to do a quick round of plugs and we'll finish up. Maddie, what do you got to plug?
Just follow me everywhere at Jester Skulls.
Are you?
Yeah, wait, what is it? So I can follow Maddie.
What's that?
What was your handle?
Oh, Jester Skulls.
Jester
like
Skulls.
It, okay. Like as in a court jester and skulls. It's cool, you know?
That's badass. Yeah, shit for my band, bro. That's a way better name.
Yeah.
Whenever we talk about this type of stuff, it ruins Maddie's life, and I can tell it's starting to settle into his mind.
I end up in my own head thinking about it all. No, it's a lot. No, it's fun.
Dude, that is a bad place to be. I agree with him. You know what I do a lot is when I start thinking too much, I just go for a walk and kind of exteriorize myself because I'm a thinker. I can't fucking help it. I drink like a gallon of coffee a day, which makes it worse. Mm-hmm. But I know exactly. I mean, deep thoughts are great to have their place, but it's certainly no place to live, you know? You're supposed to have fun. I think you're supposed
where
to have
I
fun
live.
With your life.
I think that's what I'm doing wrong. It's all I fucking live in. It's just the fucking the existential trauma we all go through.
Well, dude, I think a lot of people do, but you know, the way I look at it is if I'm not gonna find the answer, which I'm you know, if all these brilliant minds who came before us didn't, the likelihood that me or you will is probably slim. And I do honestly believe that we are supposed to have fun with our lives. We're not supposed to spend it in fucking misery. And that's usually where that leads. I think it's a nice balance. You gotta balance I think not thinking of existential questions, then you're just kind of wasting your existence as well. It's trying to find that in between, you know, where you enjoy life, but you can also ponder what the fuck we're all here for at the same time. Maybe there's a balance. I don't know.
Maddie, Cheyenne in the chat says this is why you get drunk after the show.
Not wrong.
Hey, bro. Cheers, buddy.
I'm just still recovering. Johnny, what would you like to plug?
Nothing. I don't give a shit about anything now after that conversation.
Is that real? Nothing? Social media?
Yeah. I don't care about plugs anymore or social media. I'm going to delete all my accounts, and I hope I delete my life, too.
Jesus I've been Christ. There.
So much for balance.
Fuck. It didn't work. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. But no, I don't have anything to plug. I don't like plugging.
Okay. I'll do it then. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That's absolutely for free. The best way to support the show, though, is to go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use promo code TTI. You'll get a 2-week free trial plus access to all the other amazing shows on the network, our complete archive. So every single episode that we've ever done, every episode for the past 7 or 8 years. And if you hate it after 2 weeks, you can delete it, but at least we'll know that you love us. If you listen on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate and review, tell a friend. It keeps the show going. And if you have a story to share of bad dates, bad things, or scary things, send it to thethingispodcast@gmail.com. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And I think that's it. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. I hope your resolutions work out, you assholes.
We'll be back next week. Bye, guys.
Goodbye. Bye.